This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Well, Padres may have lost, but they are a day closer to making the playoffs since the Cincinnati Reds also lost, which means Padres remain 7 games ahead of the Reds for the final playoff spot.
What's FanGraphs telling us this
still
morning?
Still 99.5.
Still 99.5?
Yeah, okay. Still 99.5 despite the loss. Didn't
feel pretty good about
didn't
it,
didn't fall any of their chances. Feel pretty good about that. Now, the Mets did gain a game on the Padres yesterday by completing their sweep of the Philadelphia Phillies. What
good
a turnaround
Lord.
That was in the National League East this week, as the Mets have now won 10 straight at Citi Field over the Phillies. Nolan McClain, who is one of the Mets' young starters they called up, went 8 innings, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts, no runs. He is the first Mets pitcher in team history to ever win his first 3 starts. He's now 3-0, as the Phillies now have been passed by the L.A. Dodgers, who now hold the number 2 seed, which is, in a way, good, because now the Padres, if they chase down the Dodgers, you know, that means they will also be chasing down the Phillies at the same time. They haven't lost any ground to the Phillies. They actually picked up a game over this series.
Where are we at now?
We are still a game and a half behind the Phillies.
We want
two games.
Clarify it again for, you know, them, not me.
Right.
Clarify it again for exactly what we want and what we need to be at home.
The top two division winners get the byes in the first round of the playoffs. Right now, that would be the Milwaukee Brewers
and the Dodgers,
who lost to the Giants yesterday, but they're well ahead. And the Dodgers now, who are the number 2 seed after their 5-1 win over the Cincinnati Reds.
It had been
Reds.
The Phillies, right?
It had been The Phillies now would be the 3 seed. They would host the 6-seeded Mets in a wild card series if the playoffs started today. Now, that wouldn't be at Citi Field.
It would be in
Philadelphia. While the Cubs, who are the top wild card team, the 4th seed, would host the San Diego Padres.
They'd get the home series.
The Padres did not lose any ground to the Cubs, who lost again yesterday to the Giants, 12-3. Rafael Devers hit a pair of home runs. So Padres are still well within striking distance of both the Dodgers, the Cubs, hosting a first-round playoff series.
Okay.
But at this point, they're right now as the number 5 seed, comfortably in the playoffs, but would have to go out on the road, would have to play every single series. It's just a long... That's the toughest road to the World Series, where you start as a wild card team on the road. So
yep.
You got to win a road series, 2 out of 3. Then you start the division series on the road with probably, you know, 1 or 2 of your starting pitchers already been burned in the first series.
Right.
So you have to go with your number 3 or number 4 starter in game 1 against a team that is resting their aces for your entire series. And you'd play 3 of those 5 games on the road. So that's the toughest path to a championship as a 5 or 6 seed, where you have to start on the road, which is why Padres need to play well here over these final 28 games to at least get by the Cubs so you could host that first round series.
Yeah, if you didn't think the San Diego Padres were going to be a wild card team at best this year, fine, right? Like, this is... I don't want to resign myself to that fact with 28 games. That's a lot of baseball left to play. Anything can happen, certainly, but... At a bare minimum, with a record of, as of today, 43-22 at Petco Park, it is imperative that you host that series. You have to host that series. You got to get it at Petco.
Feels like it.
I mean, look, we said 99.5%. I mean, it's looking pretty good.
It's looking great.
You're going to get into the dance.
You will be in the dance.
I've seen some crazy things in my last couple of years.
I've never seen anything like that, but
haven't seen anything like that. You think you feel pretty good about the Padres getting into the dance?
You know, you do.
But that does not mean you take your foot off the gas even a little bit.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, even as a fan,
until you lock up a first round bye, or at the very least, the Dodgers and the Brewers lock up the bye, you have to lock in the 3 or 4 seed and get the home field.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I don't think that you can look at it right now and be like, guys, I mean, what's the goal every year? The goal is to make the playoffs. You're right. It's absolutely, because in the dance, anything can happen. We know it. We know the crapshoot mentality of playoff teams. You know that it's really hard to predict who's going to win, who's not, who's hot at the right time. That being said, it's not good enough, I don't think, just to say, well, we made the playoffs, man. We're 99.5. You should be happy with that. getting to the ability to play at Petco Park, such a massive home field advantage. It has nothing to do with us, you know. Oh, we want to go down, and I'd rather be in the studio than be out at some bar at 6 in the morning. Trust me.
I know nobody on this show would ever be like, hey, if you went back to, you know, February when half the roster wasn't put together and you said, hey, this team's going to be a playoff team in September, you'd feel pretty good about
that. Comfortably in the playoffs in September.
Comfortably.
I know. I know. We would all have taken
that's
it.
That's right. Of course. Like, that's a, of it's course. A, it's a true statement.
But the goal line changes.
The bar is higher. Yeah, now. The bar is higher, and it should be higher after the moves they made and the prospects they gave up to address their needs at the trade deadline, which they did. You have raised the bar on expectations, and it's no longer... I don't want to say it's not good enough to get into the playoffs, because in 2022, Padres got into the playoffs. They were the road team. They beat the Mets 2 out of 3 in New York.
Yep.
They were the road team against the Dodgers, beat the Dodgers in 4 games in that best-of-5 series. And then they actually had home field advantage, if you'll remember, against the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League Championship Series, because the Phillies were the 6th seed.
That's right.
And they lost in 5 games in that series.
Correct.
So doesn't always make complete sense in terms of home field advantage in the postseason. You can advance. The Arizona Diamondbacks did it a couple of years ago. They were the road team all the way through.
The whole way through.
And made it all the way to the World Series as a lower seed. So it can be done. But let's not pretend it's not easier to do it at home. It's not easier to do it with a bye in the first round. It is. It is absolutely an advantage to finish as high as you possibly can in the playoff standings once you're already in.
Yeah,
so there's no reason to ever take your foot off the gas over this last month of the season.
So now we're watching what the Cubs are going to be doing. Who do they have next? They've got San Francisco in San Francisco.
They're finishing a 4-game series today, I believe.
The Phillies get home. They're going to take on the Braves. The Braves will be activating Chris Sale this weekend. Dodgers playing at home against
Arizona, and then Pittsburgh. So those are the next two opponents for the Dodgers.
Brewers are just, they're set.
They lost to the Diamondbacks yesterday, but they're well ahead and should be comfortably a number one seed unless something goes incredibly wrong. I think I was frustrated. I knew the Padres, you know, had a tough series against the Mariners. I was hoping they would take 2 out of 3. And I was hoping that if they took 2 out of 3, there was a chance they might actually gain a game on the Dodgers, because I know the Reds have been a very consistent team all season long, have a ton to play for. Like, that was a must-win series for the Reds for their playoff chances, and they had not been swept. They were the only team left in baseball that hadn't been swept in a single series all year long. So you know you're probably good for at least one from the Cincinnati Reds. And they get swept by the LA Dodgers.
I'm just not sure karma exists at all. I just really am not. I'm not. So, you know, listen, all you got to do is, you know, not all you got to do, but start winning the games in front of you, start winning these series. And like you said earlier, Benny, it is imperative, I think, that you sweep some of these lesser teams. Sweep them. Like, don't let them get off the mat at all. Exert your will over them. But, it's going to be a tough road to win the division at this point. You can do it. They made up 9 games in a month before. Nine games. But
now you need 3.
You need 3.
In 1 month.
Yeah. So it's not impossible, certainly. It's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out, obviously, number one. But number two, how the team decides to handle it, you know, how they decide to go after it, how aggressive they need to be. We've got more off days built in the next 28 days, too,
as
well.
Yeah, all but 1 week includes an off day the rest of the way, which is definitely a positive for a team that has had some long stretches here.
Yep. This was one.
There's a couple of guys who look like they could use a day. Manny Machado's one of them.
Yeah.
He's played every game this season. He'll take today off. I'd be surprised if he takes any more days off.
He'll
he wants
be
to be out
there
every single day. But having a full reset here, you know, the whole afternoon off yesterday, flight to Minnesota, probably got in, not early, but, you know, probably 8 or 9 o'clock. So you had the night. You'll have all day today. And then you'll have most of the day tomorrow for a night game. 5:10 here, 7:10 in Minnesota. This is a good chance for the team to kind of just chill, relax.
Walk the Mall of America.
You got some guys who were banged up. I mean, Xander Bogaerts needed more imaging again after another foul ball off his leg. He's just self-inflicted foul ball wounds this last couple of weeks.
Yeah, those
pretty dramatic for Xander.
Those sinkers in on the hands that you foul right down in your foot, it can't be good.
Jake's taking a few.
Is there a possibility of maybe putting some sort of guard on your foot at some point after at least 3 to 5 times a week driving a baseball down into your ankle, your calf, your shin, the top of your foot? I got to put something on at this point because I'm Xander for the long haul.
I think Jake Cronenworth should wear just a big arm sleeve.
Correct.
A full
He's
arm.
Got one.
He's got like an elbow and a hand.
They always
wrist.
Seem to miss it, though.
Right.
They,
he needs his whole arm just needs to be covered.
Shohei wears that one that goes from his shoulder all the way down and his batting gloves. Have you seen them? They got the big thick pads on the back of the hand. I'm like, what's stopping? Oh, you're uncomfortable? You know what's more uncomfortable? Driving baseballs off your inner foot.
When I saw that happen yesterday, and I thought, all right, I pretty much, of all the baseball watching that I do over the course of the season, the Padres make up 98%.
Yeah.
I'm mostly watching Padres baseball. So I don't know that it's a Padres thing or if it's just a baseball thing. It feels like the Padres, in particular, two or three times a game are fouling one off their foot
all
and
the
hitting the dirt.
All the time.
I'm like, is every team dealing with this?
Yes, they are. They absolutely are.
Because they gotta fix that.
I don't know how you fix it.
I don't know how you do
other
either.
Other than stop swinging at sinkers in on your hands, but right. I mean, other than that,
it's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
Twice a game, I look up, I'll be on my phone, I look up, and I'm like, oh, God, Xander's down again?
Yeah.
Crony's down again? Manny's down again?
How about that shot to Laureano's back yesterday at 96 or whatever? Oh, my God. Takes your breath away. Imagine getting hit by 96 square in the back.
They did do an updated status of Laureano after the game.
Oh.
Said it's pretty much going to be a pain tolerance soreness issue, not any damage
He'll
necessarily, but
he's
with a day off, he's
a little algae.
He's a DAWG, dude. That guy, you think he's just sit out cuz he got hit in the back? No.
And it's nice that the Padres do have the day off today for all of those guys
because
they definitely need it here. Now you got to take advantage. Again, as we said, losing teams in the next three series. Padres are 27 games above 500 against losing teams this year.
Got to keep it rolling.
They've been not only taking care of business, they've been dominating against these teams. You have to keep that going. If you don't do that, then you won't have any chance of catching the Dodgers. But if you keep dominating the teams that you should be dominating, then you definitely, you don't need the Dodgers to hugely stumble. You just need them to stumble a tiny bit, and you could catch up pretty quickly if you continue to dominate. But it's going to require I think I said it earlier this week, you're going to need a 7-game winning streak at some point.
Yeah,
that's not an easy thing to do, even against bad teams. You can't really have that off day. You can't have that day where the other team's, ace pitcher just happens to dominate. You need to find a way to win that game. Instead of going 5-2 or 6-1, at some point you're going to need to go 7-0. And that's the only way, I think, at this point, you're going to gain some ground on the Dodgers. Because I look at them, they're not going to go through a 2-8 stretch at any point.
I don't
this
think
month.
So anymore.
I really would be shocked.
Their offense seems to have figured it out, and they're getting contributions 1-9 again, and it's what makes them dangerous. Again, the elite starting pitching that they have, I don't see it crumbling. Injury could always rear its head with that franchise. You know that. They've had tons of guys on the IL. I think some of it, Ben, was orchestrated. I do, this year. But, until MLB cracks down on things like that, they're going to continue to exploit that, and they should. That's an advantage that they had with massive depth. You could say, hey, your hammy's tight. It's not. No, it is. It's tight. And we're not going to need you to throw these starts here in July. We're going to bring you back in August and September and get you ready for the stretch run. So not breaking any rules per se, but they've manipulated the system pretty well this year, as they usually do, and now look at their starting rotation going into September. It's disgusting.
Finally, I want to talk about Fernando Tatis Jr. briefly. I think he looks really good at the plate right now. Went 2-for-5 yesterday.
It's Fernando Tatis Jr.
Didn't go deep again, after he hit the home run.
Close.
But he certainly was driving the ball. He's reached base multiple times. 31 of his past 51 games, 16 doubles, tied for fourth in that span in major leagues, .407 on base percentage, fifth highest in Major League Baseball since June 29th. And those are elite numbers. The only thing that has been missing
is pop.
Has been home run pop.
Home run pop.
I mean, yeah.
Double pop is
double
real.
Pop is there. Line drives are there. Walking is there. Scoring runs is there. It's simply the home run pop that we have not seen, other than the one swing the other day to center field. I don't know that you want him to change anything at this point.
No, don't change a thing.
I know we were kind of saying, hey, we got to find that. At this point, I just say, just keep doing what you're doing,
please,
Fernando.
Please. And you know, it's going to be interesting. My guess is Louis is going to be right back in the two tomorrow against Zebby Matthews, who is a young up-and-comer for the Minnesota Twins. Bit uneven as a starting pitcher. Nestor Cortes will go for the Padres, hoping to build off his brilliant.
Is it Nestor tomorrow, not Pivetta tomorrow?
That's what I got. Okay. And then I got Pivetta Saturday against Mick Abel. And then no starting pitcher listed for the Padres yet. Again, you win the first two games of that series. You're like, okay, you're going to have to go with Randy Vasquez or bullpen day. Maybe you could call up Kyle Hart, right? None of these are really blow your hair back, but
you bring a Kyle Hart or whoever, Randy Vasquez, you bring him on the taxi squad or whatever, bring him with you,
If you win the first two, you're like, great, you know, let's see what Kyle Hart can give us today.
But you also really feel like you'll need to win that game as well. Dodgers will probably win their next two against the Diamondbacks.
I mean, look, if you say you won the first two and you're throwing Randy Vasquez in game three, I'm not saying that's a punt.
That's not a punt. Randy has kept us in damn near every game he's pitched.
And the bullpen will be fresh going into that series because even though it was a one-run game yesterday, Mike Schilt didn't really chase. And we saw Alec Jacob, who will probably be sent back to the minors at some point. Yep. We saw Yuki, we saw Wandy, and we saw David Morgan.
And, you know, the bullpen gave up what, one inherited run for you, Darvish?
None. You gave up all four.
You
on
gave
the home
up
run.
All four on his own. Bullpen, why did I have people texting me? They were so mad that we went to Wandy and Yuki.
The bullpen was perfect. Four innings. They gave a couple hits. But
no, there was
runs
one. There was Matsui gave up one of Yu's runs.
Not true.
Are you sure?
100% true. When Eugenio Suarez hit the 3-run home run off Yu Darvish, it was 4-0.
That made it 4-0.
There was no
You're
more
right.
runs the rest of the
You're
game.
Right. You're right.
No way the bullpen gave up anything.
You're right. So those guys did a great job.
They did.
What were we complaining about?
They did. Little danced around, a little trouble a couple of times, but four shutout innings from the Padres bullpen without any of the top five guys
they held it down
being used in the game. So they will be fresh, rested, with an extra day off going into this series, a fully operational Death Star to face the Minnesota Twins this weekend, which is a good place to start, at least, the series in Minnesota. And then we'll see where the Padres go after that first game. All right, we are going to give away some tickets again. Padres-Orioles game coming up on Tuesday, September 2nd. It is the Manny Machado City Connect Basketball Jersey Night. The first 40,000 fans in attendance are going to receive that spectacular Manny Machado giveaway. You can get your tickets at Padres.com/tickets, or you can win them right now. And as we've been doing all week, we're rewarding people who listen and pay attention.
People are calling in right now. They don't even know what
the bit is.
Can't do that.
So here's your question. You're going to call in at 833-288-0973. First correct answer. Were you listening this morning when Pauly played Ben's alphabet? L. What was L standing for? What did L stand for? L as in what?
In
Ben's alphabet from this morning's foreplay.
That's a good one.
If you know the answer, call now, 833-288-0973. Give Pauly the correct answer. We'll give you tickets to the Padres game against the Orioles coming up on Tuesday, September 2nd. Get your own tickets at Padres.com/tickets. L as in what? What was it? All right. We will come back with Don't Do This. Had a very sore loser yesterday at the U.S. Open tennis tournament who turned things pretty dark at the end of her match. We'll have audio for you from that coming up next.
Don't Do This.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot, you moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't Do This.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Took a little while to get our winner for the Padres tickets. Pauly took, what, five phone calls before Michael knew the correct answer, that L as in loose cannabis?
Yeah, L as in loose cannabis.
Oh, in Ben's alphabet this morning.
Can't wait to do an actual
Picked
phone call.
Picked up like three phone calls and I was like, hey, do you know the answer? Like, F.
Yeah.
No.
Damn it.
F as in...
I don't remember.
Either.
Need them listed.
Tough. That was a tough question. There was no doubt about that.
No
you
doubt.
Had to be paying very close attention.
F was.
I don't even remember what F was. G as in ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
Female autoerotica.
Female.
Of course. Erotica.
You are such a deviant, and no one knows it.
F, as in female autoerotica.
Just the most deviant behavior I've ever seen. Ever. And nobody knows it, Paulie.
All right, it is time for Don't Do This.
Those are just the drops that made it in. Yeah.
Those are the ones that made it in. You could probably do a whole nother alphabet.
I could do a marijuana-related alphabet. I could do a sex-related alphabet.
Please do a sexual-related alphabet. I'm begging you.
It was literally, when I was building that yesterday, it was more of like, it was how inappropriate do I want to get?
Yes, correct, correct.
Maybe I got to save one for like a member stream or something.
I'm so into it.
God. Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
Yes.
It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. All right, I will start from the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament. Some spicy stuff at the end of the second round match between American Taylor Townsend and world number 25 Yelena Ostapenko. Townsend pulled off the upset, kind of won pretty easily, 7-5, 6-1. They went to shake hands at the net after the match. Then they shook hands with the umpire. And then all of a sudden, Ostapenko started saying something to Townsend, who like went back. Then Ostapenko started kind of pointing her finger at Townsend. And then they were arguing for a few seconds. And then finally, Taylor Townsend walked away. Well, in the post-match interview, Taylor Townsend explained what was going on at the net at the end of the match.
Well, can you fill us in on the conversation you were having with Yelena out there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's competition. People get upset when they lose, and you can't. Some people say bad things. She told me I have no class, I have no education, and to see what happens when we get outside the U.S. So God. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I beat her in Canada outside the U.S. I beat her in New York outside the U.S. So let's see what else she has to say.
You were down 5-3.
And keep in mind, Taylor Townsend's African-American as well, and Yelena Ostapenko is white. So there's some... You know,
undertones.
There's certainly some undertones in what she is
saying.
Actually
overtones right
so
there.
So after the match, Ostapenko posted on Instagram, and this I don't think this is much of a defense at all, but we've seen this in tennis a couple of times. She was mad that Taylor Townsend didn't apologize on a key point when her ball touched the net and spilled over. Didn't do the old, sorry, that was an accident, didn't mean to hit the let. Cord
right.
And win the point there.
That's the second time this has happened in like a month, right?
I didn't know. Is that a thing?
It is a thing, apparently.
I mean, I've played some tennis in my life, and I've seen people apologize when it hits the net. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
I played tennis casually with friends. I played 1 year in high school, organized tennis, and I never was ever once told that's
the
you're supposed
rule.
To apologize but for that. It just happens sometimes.
It's fine if you do, but you can't get mad if the other person
correct.
Doesn't. They're in the heat of a professional tennis match.
Can you imagine somebody throws you a slider and you do the ass out and you flare it in the right? You know what I'm not doing? Hey, my bad, bro. Great pitch. No,
that's not enough. And then she also said on this Instagram post, and there may be something lost in translation here. She said, all players are supposed to start warm up on the baseline. The opponent came out and straight away started the warm up at then, which is very disrespectful and against the rules of a tennis match. No idea what she's saying, but she went maybe she changed up the warm-up routine. It is weird because in tennis, you actually warm up with your opponent where you hit balls back and forth to
weird.
The person. It would be like, you know, the other team throwing batting practice to your guy at the beginning of
the starting pitcher. Here we go!
Maybe that's a bad. Maybe you can have like a warm up partner that they just come out with your own person in the future. But.
Elisa nails it. Well, her comments were way more offensive than not saying sorry.
Yeah.
No. Hey,
no
you didn't
kidding.
Say sorry. You're a fat, stupid, lazy sack of S. Whoa. I'm sorry I hit the net. My God. Like, you're going to get that upset about it.
Imagine
that's the
like
second
shooting a free
time.
Throw and the ball hits the rim and bounce out. You're like, I'm sorry.
So sorry.
Sorry.
So sorry.
I know. I need to be better.
That's,
like, what?
If that's an unwritten rule, yeah, it's one of the dumbest.
Yeah, you hit a three-pointer, hits the backboard and goes in and bangs in. Oh,
sorry,
my bad.
Guys.
My bad.
Hell
didn't,
no.
Didn't swish. I'm sorry.
We're running out of time. I don't. Mine is dumb. Let's just get to doo-doo this because it's
this
not
is
dumb.
DD mega doo-doo.
This is one of my favorite things I think I've ever found.
This is great.
So NFL training camps are underway.
This is my dream.
I saw this video and I just... It actually made me mad that we didn't think of something like this.
We complain about the youth sometimes today, the Generation Zs, but some of these social media gurus for professional sports teams.
This is brilliant.
Are geniuses. So clever now. They're so clever.
Allegedly, the Tennessee Titans hired this kid who's playing as a fake reporter at training camp.
Yeah, it's a prank.
And this is for a social media video for the Titans.
He's got a camera on a tripod. He's clearly set up. He's doing some content. And he's just talking to players as they're walking on or walking off the field. I think they even had some joint practices with the Atlanta Falcons. But this is the Tennessee Titans. And I don't even know what they call this bit. We do something called the Incorporator with Jesse Agler.
This is the mumbler.
This would be the mumbler.
I'm so mad at myself.
Just listen to how this interview goes down. If you wonder what this guy is saying, you're not alone.
Is there any point during training camp that, like, especially like all like people like just like count two for?
You say what?
Just like all like especially like that's like all like come forward, especially like within training camp.
Man, what?
Like all people like especially like push me, like that's like something like you see.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't know what the hell you just said. He said that's a part of training camp. What?
As everyone's out here, you guys are with the Falcons. You guys are here in Atlanta. Yeah. Is there any point, like, Keshper, like, especially they come forward? Like, is that something, like, you just want to look at?
Say that again.
Just like, have everyone, like, come around, like, especially like, for you, is that, like, especially like, come forward? Like, especially like, you do look at?
Say that one more time.
Just like, all like, come around, like, especially that's, like, kind of something, like, especially like, for, like, especially like, with that training camp?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
Just because.
Yeah, you guys been on the road for quite a while. What's the energy been like, and how are you feeling specifically?
Man, the energy's been up, man. It's just, you know, it's a good time, you know, when you go on the road with your team, you know, you get to vibe with the guys, you know, outside of, you know, practice and stuff. These are my favorite type of memories, so, but yeah, I feel good.
So you guys are running scrims, the energy's really high. Is there anything better, like, come forward, like, especially like, something like that you see that, or is that more, like, kind of, especially, like, all, like, emotional side?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, just like kind of like what kind of goes into preparing for you for the next season.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I think just, you know, building the chemistry with your teammates, you know, building the chemistry with your quarterback and just, you know, going out there and every day proving it and stacking days, you know, just make sure you got that confidence going into it.
He's brilliant.
Genius.
It's great.
So
it's been
genius.
Done. Somebody said you got to go back. You got to go look up Good Neighbor stuff. Kyle Mooney has done this with Giants players. Giants baseball or Giants football? I have no idea.
Football.
Probably football.
Yeah.
That's pretty brilliant. The
mumbling.
The radio station that I grew up listening to is 1310 The Ticket in Dallas. It's what made me want to do sports radio when I heard this show, The Hardline. And they had a guy on the show, Corby. And they would send him out to Cowboy spring training every year. And he would not go after...
Training camp.
Training camp. He would not go after the stars. He was on those guys that are like bubble guys and brand new draftees. And he did a bit called the overcusser. Now, that's what we call swearing in Texas, cussing.
Oh, yeah.
So he would go out and he'd be like, all right, here we go, the overcusser. And he's like, so, man, what a crazy mother effing practice, man. Some real pieces of ass. And he would... And they're like... They're looking around and they're like, can we curse?
It's jarring.
And it's jarring. And then sometimes they would be like, they would get in the mood and they'd be like, hell yeah, stupid MF-er, and they start getting into it. Any reaction you got was great because some people would be like, hey, dang, dude, holy cow. It was really one of the most legendary bits I've ever heard.
What was so great about the Titans reporter is he would always start and you'd understand the words, and he'd finish and you'd understand the words, but he'd...
It's the middle.
He'd mush them up so much in the middle, it made it sound like he knew what he was saying, but you didn't know what he was saying. That was very
clever. And he could repeat it.
Right.
Repeat the gibberish.
That was so good.
Man, that's good. That is really good. Oh, well, we blew it, you know, by not doing this with our guys out at spring training. But we can come up with something, but not going to be as good as that. I'll tell you that.
That is Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
You do that sometimes, but it's unintentional.
It's true.
You don't mean to.
It's
as
true,
you're,
especially
like,
later in the week.
Later in the week, Friday.
Sam Leavitt when we come. Sam, Padres yesterday in the Mariners. And just, the, you know, the way that the other stuff. And
it's so true.
Some questions.
It doesn't sound good.
That guy's really good at it.
He must have just stared at a mirror for days and was like practicing this and memorizing these mumbles.
Nice job with me.
Good job, Wimpy.
Good job, Wimpy. It's amazing. Unintentional mumbling is just as funny.
We will talk to Sam Levitt. In-season Sammy will join us even on his day off, talking Padres baseball coming up next year with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. First, though, get a chance to talk about Prize Picks. Football season is starting. Great time to start setting your lineups, not just every week, but you also can make season-long stat projections. I set one this week, posted it on my Instagram stories. If you want to follow along, you can. On Prize Picks, you can win real money with your sports knowledge. Just watching games on television, whether it's baseball, football, tennis, you know, if you're watching the tennis tournament as well, they've got picks for everybody. You're just setting between two and six players in your lineup and picking more or less on stat projections and then winning real cash. When you download the app, make sure you use the code KWFN to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's code KWFN to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. It's really easy to download the app, and then when you win, it's really easy to withdraw your money. You can use Apple Pay, MasterCard, Venmo, however you want. It's very fast, very easy. I've done it several times. And when you play, you don't even have to get every single pick right. If you want to use a flex play, you can set a lineup with five, and if you win four, you still win. So you don't have to be perfect with Prize Picks either. Lots of different ways to play. Lots of different ways to win with Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for more details.
I got a WhatsApp from our friend over in Melbourne, Australia.
Ooh, Tony?
Aussie Tony. He's listening and watching live right now. He loved Ben's alphabet bit, and he's coming over to the States. He's flying out, I believe, on Sunday. So he's going to need a little time. You have Labor Day. You know, we're off that day. And I'm going to try to get him in studio next Tuesday, I think, is going to be the play. We're going to go see the Padres-Orioles that night. Me, him, and Craig, that was the Manchester trio that we all went to see Oasis together. And then he's going to hang out in San Diego for a couple days, head up to L.A., and then we'll reconvene at the Oasis show at the Rose Bowl on Saturday. So very excited to see Aussie Tony. You guys are going...
I can't wait.
You're going to adore him. The audience will adore him. He's fantastic and just a wild man. So I can't tell you right now how my performance is going to be next Wednesday. I'm just going to warn you right now. I don't know what it's going to look like.
Fair enough.
All right, so be
you
ready.
A long day, but
be ready to.
You'll have some story. Something will happen
something
to
will
you.
Happen.
That will end up being an amazing story.
Yeah. Well, you may need to pull the sled.
I can also tease slightly that Australia will figure in a little bit later in the show today as well, coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay. This is news to me.
No, it's not. You actually sent it to me earlier this week. We will.
Right, you did.
We will set that aside for a moment, and we will welcome Sam Levitt to the program right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. These are the days that I appreciate Sam Levitt the most. He just had a stretch of 13 straight pre and post game shows. He's actually off today, but is joining us this morning to talk a little Padres baseball. And we'll keep it short, just a few minutes, but definitely don't want to miss our chat with Sammy. Good morning, Sam.
Hey guys, good morning. Happy to be on with you.
How are you? Where are you right now?
I am in beautiful Ocean Beach, although it is a little bit cloudy and I think even a little bit rainy this morning. I saw some raindrops on my window, but everything's good here in OB. So yes, here at the pre and post game headquarters, if you will, on the shores of Ocean Beach.
All right, so I've got a question for you, Sam. I actually need your help because we've got a round table this morning and you're not going to be there, but I finally reached the point in the season. I'm struggling a little bit to come up with good topics for the roundtable. I don't want it to simply be another should Luis Arraez be batting second conversation, which was a good one last week, but I don't want to do that again.
I'll kill you.
I know. Well, that's the thing. So I want to workshop this with you. Do you have anything that you want to hear us talking about on the roundtable today? Maybe something that one of your post-game callers brought up this week. Anything interesting that I may be missing? Because we've covered this team pretty thoroughly for the last, you know, 6 months since the start of spring training. And now we're just kind of, I just want to see how it plays out at this point. I mean, there's not much more that we can say or do about this team. We just got to see how it all ends, how the story concludes.
Yeah, I think what you're describing is the Padres having champagne problems, right? In the sense that you know they're a good team. You know they have a real shot to do something special. And now you're trying to, I suppose, optimize them and get them in the best position to go ahead and do that. I'll give you two things that I guess I would put on my list of concerns. And I thought both of them were highlighted during the series with Seattle. And I think both would make good roundtable topics. But I'm sure you may have discussed them before on previous roundtables, but maybe a good day to bring them both up. The two things this series against Seattle, I think, highlighted for me as my, well, I'll give it actually three different sections here. Number one, the Padres continuing to struggle against good teams on the road, which I think, and you guys touched on it earlier, makes it really, really imperative that they find a way to host a wild card series if they have to host, if they have to play a wild card series. I would love this team to play at home as much as humanly possible, which makes this quote-unquote easy schedule down the stretch and taking advantage of that and getting in as best position as possible, whether it's winning the division or being the top wild card team. I would love to see this team play at home. That's my you know, first bucket of concerns. My second bucket of concern would be, you know, do you know what you're getting from the starting pitching outside Nick Pivetta? In the postseason. I mean, Yu Darvish, it's been very, very up and down. Dylan Cease, obviously, it's been very, very up and down. You know, Michael King is going to throw another simulated game, it sounds like, in Minnesota this weekend. What is he going to be by the time the postseason rolls around? I hope it's stretched out and into a groove and into a rhythm. But I think there are question marks there as far as what, who and what you're getting from your starters in a postseason series and how you attack it. And then number three, you know, another topic for us, you know, the lack of power and, again, how the Padres are going to have to make up for that. I thought we saw with the Mariners series, you know, the kind of the danger of facing a team that has real-time power and pop and can change a game with a few swings. And I don't know that the Padres are going to, you know, ever play like that based on what we've seen from them this season, or have the ability to really keep up from a power standpoint with a team like that. Not that you can't win games, of course you can, but those are three topics for you, Ben, I guess, of things that you can really dive in on and have a legitimate conversation as to how concerned are you in a postseason sense about, I suppose, those three things.
We were going to wait to tell you this, Sammy, but I figure right now is probably the best time. Just wanted you to know, next year you will be hosting the roundtable full time. Because of that, you have just knocked it out of the park. Everyone, Adam's texting me, Michael's texting me, the audience, they want you. You did it, man. So congratulations. You just knocked it out of the park. Everyone's so proud of you. You've earned this, bro. You've earned this.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't really have a leg to stand on, Woodsy. You know how it works.
Yeah, I do.
It works in that building.
It's kind of
like, you know, it's kind of a, hey, you know, would you be okay? Would it be asking too much? And then all of a sudden you're doing
yes.
it. So I hate to say it, but if I was at least a part-time roundtable host, I have a feeling I would be signed up without much of a say in the matter.
Yes, actually.
You know, you talk about it, Sammy, the power. And it is crazy because when you look up and down the Padres lineup, you know, we certainly expected more power, right? It's not like that it's not like we went out and signed and built our roster of, hey, let's go get a bunch of slap singles.
True.
We didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't. Like, they did a good job of building this roster. It is a balanced roster. They have a lot of ability. We just didn't get it. Manny didn't perform power-wise this year. I don't think he's going to get to his 30 home runs. He's at 21.
Yeah.
You know, Fernando's not going to get close to 30 home runs this year. There's 20 home runs right there that you're missing from those two guys. You know, Gavin Sheets has been great.
They got big, strong guys on the team.
They just didn't do it. I don't want to say they didn't perform this year, because Manny, his latest slump notwithstanding, and Fernando, you know, he's had his struggles, but he's red hot. Those dudes absolutely help you win baseball games, and I'm so happy they're on my team. But when it comes to power, and it's weird, like, could it happen where you get to the postseason and guys do find their stroke? It absolutely could.
Yeah.
I'm not counting on it, but I don't think it's from a – I don't think we built a crappy lineup. I really don't.
No, and they're a very good lineup. Yeah. I mean, I didn't mean the question to lead into Ben's question about the roundtable topics to make it sound like I'm
not at all. I didn't take it that way.
I'm dooming here, and I think they've got no shot. I think there's a really good team that has a chance to go win the World Series.
Yeah, 100%.
I do think it would be nice for them to put themselves in the best position possible heading into the postseason, which is why they've got to take advantage of this schedule. But look, I do think this series against the Mariners from a power standpoint did kind of remind you of what the Padres do miss right now.
Correct.
Which is, you know, the Fernandos and the Mannies and the Xanders. You know, they just don't hit for a ton of power. And you saw on the other side, guys like Rosarena and Eugenio Suarez, you know,
Jackson
3-run home runs. Yeah, Raleigh, I mean, there is a little bit of a difference there. Again, not that you can't win, but it is something that I do think still from a postseason standpoint, to me, when you're just assessing the Padres, is going to be a concern. And that's probably going to be that way heading into the postseason unless these guys start hitting home runs all over the place.
Sam, as I said, quick check-in. Appreciate it. Enjoy your day off. We'll be back with the second half of Ben and Woods next.